And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, March 7th, 2018 edition of The American Awakening. I am your host, Michael Herzog, and as always, I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, the reason for that lead-in music is we're going to talk about some good, we're going to talk about some bad, and we're going to explore a little bit of the ugly. And by the way, I'm going to be using that lead-in music tomorrow, for as you will see, a little bit of the ugly is going to be, folks, I went in yesterday, and I stomached watching this APEC policy conference, and I'll tell you something, you know, if you want something that'll make you, you want to watch something that'll make you lose your dinner, okay, watch that crap, because the good, the bad, and the ugly is going to fit right into that. I'm going to go into that tomorrow, and I'm going to play some clips. Well, the topic of this show today, when it goes from the national level, actually the international level, down to the state level, and my guest coming up today, which is going to ride shotgun with me, is Tom Lacovara. We're going to talk about brain deadness, because Tom is right in the middle of it. With that, Tom Lacovara, you with me?
I am. Am I the good, the bad, the ugly, or all? A little bit of all.
No, you know, I'll share with the audience, Tom and I talked a little bit off the air before he came on, and he was, you know, kind of describing, which we're going to give you a kind of a good bird's eye overview of his situation, because Tom actually went out and did some interviews with some people up there. And I tuned into his show last night, and I heard just one. I had to turn it off because they were him and I don't know the guy that you were with. I don't know who it was, but you were so busy laughing, I couldn't even hear the ridiculousness of, you know, what this lady was saying. But before that, before we get into that, I wanted to bring you up on the air.
Yeah,
and
I'm not actually sure that was a lady. I'm actually pretty confused in these areas these days. Apparently there are more than out there a variety of genders that that I'm supposed to know about, and if I don't know about, I could technically be a hater. This is just a weird environment, bro.
Well, you know, when I went last year, I took a trip to California, which the listening audience knows, in your slot, your listening audience knows, because I happened to be in that slot at the time, and I went to California to pick up this IT guy, this Brian guy, and, you know, he was on Sunset Strip, which to me was ridiculous, because you have to fight traffic 24/7 even to get to Sunset Strip, and when I picked him up, I was looking at some of the weirdest people I have ever seen in my life.
Yep.
And yes, I can agree with you. You know, you look at him and say, okay, is that a man? What is that exactly? You know, I mean, people wearing skirts with a beard. I mean, seriously, what's up with that?
You know, I liken it back to the day where, you know, my dad used to think that every guy that had long hair, I mean, my dad was a judge, and he'd have young offenders come in with their hair long, and rather than give them a fine or give them a record, because he knew for whatever reason they loved their hair, he would say, well, you come back into my court next week with a short haircut and we'll dismiss the charges. And, you know, I liken it back to a little bit of that. People are making a real big deal out of this. Like, if you don't call them what they want to be called or whatever, look, I don't care what people do. I may not understand it. My biggest problem with this whole thing is, if you notice what's going on in Canada with this human rights bill and stuff like that, is compelled speech is making you, if you don't identify them in a conversation or when you're referring to them by a proper pronoun or whatever it is, that's hate speech, and that's coming to America, man. This is some crazy stuff, bro. I mean, wow.
Oh, okay, so you have to address them by a specific... Are you talking about a specific genderic kind of name?
Yes, this is what's going on in Canada, right? It's going on everywhere. It's in the United States, Canada, everywhere. It's just a Marxist kind of identity politics where, you know, if they identify as not a male or a female, then you either need to refer to them as they or them or Z or sir or so or whatever. And, you know, I was having an actual conversation with one of these folks last night, and I said, look, I don't care what you identify with. I identify right now as a Sherman tank, but you don't have to call me Sherman. You know what I mean? You don't have to call me. You can call me jerk if you want to. It just I may not like it, but to compel me to either identify you to and by not identifying, they're calling that a hate crime of violence for not recognizing their existence. Well, excuse me, Snowflake, but what did you ever do for me that I have to recognize your existence?
Are you saying to me that Canada has actually enacted legislation regarding this?
Well, you know, this is a big thing that was going on. Jordan Peterson, who was a university professor at the University of Toronto, there was a big stir when, oh my God, I can't believe you're not, like, I'm going to have to pull up some clips, and we're going to have to get into this into a whole future show, because we could spend some interesting time on this. Well, Jordan Peterson... he's relatively liberal in some areas, and I guess I would call him more libertarianish. He's kind of in the middle with some things, but he's very common sense, logical analysis to cultural Marxism and how postmodernism is being pushed into schools, universities, you know, and all of this. And you know, the same he goes after the same nonsensical views that some of the liberals will say, you know, with the whole Sharia thing, they're while they're talking about women's rights and equality and equal pay, you never hear about them, you know, complaining or whining about Saudi Arabia. I mean, he breaks down the illogic of the argument on the left and why it's toxic. It really, because it's they're putting acts of legislation in Australia and Canada, and usually it happens in Great Britain, Australia, and Canada, and then it comes here. For whatever reason, I've seen that with gun laws. I've seen that with a lot of other legislation. So the Marxism or communitarianism or however, you know, their own brand or version of it that are fighting for it in their little enclaves, it ends up coming here. And here it is. Well, here in Eugene, this is a very liberal enclave. And so I decided I wanted to approach a talk on the street type of thing. I wish I had had a cameraman with me because, oh God, the footage would have been great. So I'm talking with people and trying to say, hey, look, I'm gonna approach it like this. I'm a conservative. I'm a Christian, but I'm not for or against Trump. Leave Trump out of this. Can we have a conversation? It took me. So many people, the automatic facial expression would turn from one of a pleasant little smile and a happy-go-lucky little hoppity-skippity granola eater to all of a sudden, this demon rises up. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, dude, don't you realize that my faith teaches me that I have to love you even if I think you're my enemy? What do you call that? They're like, conservatives are Nazis. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Conservatives are Nazis. So, and let me jump forward real quick, too. I was sitting in a restaurant having a Caesar salad and a cup of coffee, and one of the locals recognized me, and he's sitting down. I invited him to the table, and we're having a mutual beneficial conversation, you know, quiet. We're not yelling or arguing or anything like that. Having this conversation, and one of the servers, the head server, whatever, walks over to us and says, "We don't do political conversations here." And I'm like, and I look at this person, and I, like, they have three heads, of course. And I say to them, I say, "What do you mean we don't do political conversations? I mean, do you mean to tell me that you were, first of all, listening into my conversation and now going to tell me that I have to be silent as to my conversation in this public place that I paid for a meal in?" And he said, "That's exactly what I'm saying." And I said, "Well, you know, it's not for anything. Now that you've inserted yourself into this discussion, what do you think about the Christian bakers that wouldn't decorate a cake for two people that were gay that wanted to get married? She would sell them the cake, but she wouldn't put her art in it. And I do believe that she was castigated and the court found against her. So let me ask you a question there, Einstein. What do you think you just did? What do you think you just did to me? I'm not bothering your town. Now, if I stood up and I started becoming an orator in the middle of your establishment, maybe you'd have an argument. I'd say, you would have an argument if I was affecting your commerce, affecting your business. But you just can't silence somebody. And these are the same people that are calling people like me, who believe in free speech, Nazis. I don't think they, I know that these people have absolutely no clue that they are the exact, acting in the exact manner that totalitarian-minded, authoritarian-minded people think, and that is exactly what many of these socialist movements, which I consider Hitler to be more of a leftist than anything. He was fascistic, but it was, you know, national socialism, right? So, yeah. You know, like Russia, like anything else, they have to silence and control the speech and thought so to get it moving in the direction that they want it in. But these are the same people that are calling us Nazis. And it just blows my mind.
Did you happen to ask the server what was politically correct that you could talk about?
No.
I mean, you know, if they have a list of, you know, I will talk about Nazis,
That would have been a good question. I did ask, would you like me to talk about gophers and bunny rabbits? I did say that. And they actually responded to that.
Oh, my God. Well,
that now, would be fine, is what they said.
Okay, you weren't asked to leave the restaurant, though, right?
I was.
Right?
I was.
You were? Okay.
I was.
Because, all right, well, see, this brings me back. I'll share a quick story with you. Back when I was originally with the network, with RBN back in 2007, I actually moved to Round Rock for a while, and I went into a restaurant for dinner, and I was sitting next to a lady, attractive lady, you know, just having a conversation, whatever, and the subject led into 9/11, and I was sharing with her the events, you know, surrounding 9/11 and why I believe it was an inside job, and do you believe the official story, and all that stuff that you go through, right?
Right.
And she says, excuse me, she gets up, she says, I have to go to the bathroom. So she gets up and she walks away, and about 2 minutes later she comes back, come to find out her husband owned the establishment. It was her restaurant. I didn't know that. And I was asked, you know, so this has been going on for a long time, but over there,
you were asked to leave?
I was asked, oh yeah, they threw me out.
Wow.
So, but my point is, now you had interviewed, and by the way, folks, before we get through this, we're going to go into kind of an overview of Tom's situation. I think you're starting to picture of the, you know, we talk about an open-ended prison. You know, you're locked into this place where everybody's brain dead. Everybody's politically correct.
They're trying to trying to keep me here, man.
Well, I don't want
to... listen, this is what I figured. I figured since they wanted to keep me here so badly, that the first thing that I would do is go right down to the middle of downtown Eugene and start talking to people about the things that are on my mind. Since they want me to be here so badly, I figured that I would make beneficial use of the time. And I swear to you, there are at least two establishments right now that if I got an attorney, I could do the same thing to them. Now, of course, it wouldn't be in the mainstream media all over the place, but I could do the same thing to them that they did to these Christian bakers. I really don't want to do that. Look, to a certain degree, what they did disturbs me on several levels, but I might just have to do that out of principle. Just, you know, if I'm going to have to stay here, I might as well, you know, generate some income.
Well, okay, so you had, first of all, let's kind of step back for a moment. Let's kind of give the listening audience, because, you know, as a listening audience knows, and as you know, you're up there in a situation where you've been placed there deliberately by the probation department. And and they're doing everything they can do to stymie any type of forward movement that you can make. And even
it would certainly appear that way.
Yeah, and even to the point where you had, I believe, petitioned them to actually have a place to go with the Hammonds in Arizona. They're in Arizona, right?
Yeah, no, the Hammonds. Okay. No. Let me get the it in line. I have a wonderful place to go with a dedicated and devoted longtime family friend who is a private entrepreneur. Conservative Christian. He bought a piece of property, paid for it. He's building a house on it. He wants me to come and help him, and he was offering me profit sharing. It would be a way to get economically back on my feet after all of this, you know, from the Bundy Ranch to Mount Hure. I'm pretty destroyed. So it was a way for me to get back financially. It's out in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere. There's no crime. There's nothing out there but desert, right?
So I figured, there's me. I'm here. I'm 20 miles.
Well, yeah, yes, yes, yes. But, you know, there's nothing.
Yeah,
relatively, what I'm saying is there's no crime. So yeah. There's nothing out there but the desert. So I figured that they would jump at the chance to send me off to the middle of the desert somewhere. I really did. And the judge seemed to be on board with it. My attorney, so-called, was, you know, get me started with that, was on board with it. This was the plan. I hit that halfway house, and I was assigned a probation officer who seems nice enough when she talks to you, but it took from October to now to just, I mean, not that long ago, just a few weeks back, she finally acquiesced to this agreement. I had to have my attorney call her. I had to have the deputy from the work release. He was emailing her, and they're like, what are you doing? Like this dude, literally nothing changed in the meantime, but she had denied me at first, saying, she questioned the guy whether, you know, where he got his money from. She didn't know it was legal. Keep in mind, this is a guy who passed her background check. So they're going way above and beyond looking inside every orifice trying to. And then she said, we don't think that you can, I'm as a law enforcement officer and, you're disabled, blah, 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 blah. I don't know if it's legal, if this or not. And I'm like, you're way overworking this. This is just do the background check, suitable living approval. That's all. That's the gist of it. What I agreed to, and that's what it is, it's a plea agreement. What I agreed to was supervised release, not controlled. Not to the point where you just can deny. So here it gets worse. Here we jump ahead to, okay, we're running out of time now. And she finally puts the request in for Arizona. We haven't heard back from Arizona. And there's, I think that I have a funny feeling I might know why. I'll get to that in a minute. We haven't heard back from Arizona. My friend has called the Arizona probation office. I have a probation officer in Arizona. I haven't heard from this person, haven't been contacted, but apparently somebody's been assigned the case. They said that they would call him back the next day. They didn't. He called back the next week. They said they'd call back that same day. They didn't. So they've lied to him twice saying, we'll call you back, and they've never called him back, which does not build very much trust, and that's part of their goal and their mission statement, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so in the final hour, here come the Hammonds. And Donna Hammond, she put into, they have a house in Prineville, Oregon, and it's a beautiful house. They have a police officer that lives on both sides of them, both sides, one on either side. Mm-hmm. No criminal record. They're in, almost into retirement, early retirement. You know, they go around dressing they dress in period costumes and go and teach in the schools. I mean, these are the safest people you could think of, right? So I said, all right, for a temporary, okay, she said, just come stay here. And I said, well, you got to go through the approval process anyway. So they put in for the approval process. This probation officer calls me from Bend, Oregon, and she says, I'm so-and-so, and, I'm going to be going out and, she asked me a couple of, mindless questions. It's just questions that, that they have to ask you.
All right, hold it.
Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with voracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
All right, we're back up. I guess we got a technical difficulty going here, folks. So we're back with the American Waiting. Michael Herzog, your host. Now, you just listen to that commercial, which John Stettmiller starts, I'm in the middle of, and then Rivero finishes. You know, you have the privilege, you know, where it says jailing hosts, jailing journalists, killing people, you know, to thwart the truth. You're listening to one of those jailed hosts right now, folks, and he's out of jail, but he's still really in jail because the people that jailed him won't allow him to leave. So anyway, with that, continue with your story. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I found this wonderful, wonderful Christian couple. They're LDS, and they were willing to put me up for as long as it takes to get me approved for the transfer to Arizona. Anyway, so. This probation officer from Bend calls me, and we have a short conversation, and I forget how exactly this was brought up. I wrote it down. I don't have my notes in front of me, but something to the effect of, you know, how do you know these people? Like, this is a big deal for them, how I knew them or if they are friends or family. Okay. So I said, you know, I got to meet them through... You know what I was involved with, and she said, "Oh yeah, I just came from your Facebook page. I just saw the Clive and Bundy interview you did. And I just had done it a couple days prior. Did an interview with Clive and Bundy, a recent interview live, pre-recorded, and I had put it up on YouTube. 30 minutes later, after this conversation, I go to share this interview. By the way, and my channel was terminated." Just to let you know, my entire channel, 6 years of work, all of my articles, thousands of views, my evidence in Malheur for certain things, everything, poof.
Just, you're talking about just, on Facebook?
No, right? YouTube. I was part of the YouTube.
Okay.
Yes.
And folks, by the way, let me interject here. I'm going to get into this part in a little bit more elaborate detail on tomorrow's show regarding these purges that are happening right now. The show title tomorrow is Under Siege. Go ahead.
Under Siege, yeah. Continue. It should be named Gulag. I mean Google. Anyway. So we're having this conversation, and I didn't think it went too badly. I mean, she seemed friendly enough, and she made mention that, and this is what bothers me right now, this is why I'm really kind of nervous, I gave her the name of the PO out in Arizona, and I thought that she was getting that name so maybe she could facilitate it getting moved along or something. She said, oh, I know that that probation officer. And at the time, I was thinking, oh, well, great, maybe something will happen here. So anyway, that evening or the following evening or morning or whatever it was, my PO here calls me and says, yeah, you've been denied for placement in at the Hammonds. And as part of the reasons was that I was not a family member. I've never lived with them before. And I said, well, that's all stuff you knew before you ever went out there. Why did you put in for the request? Why didn't you just say no if that's part of your criteria? The other part was that the Hammonds had invited the next-door neighbor who was a police officer, a peace officer, over. They had to work, so their wife attended. And Donna just wanted, you know, somebody that's connected with local law enforcement to just witness things, to, you know, because she's a little, I mean, she's nervous. She's opening her home to a search. They've had to move any tools or, you know, toys or whatever to another location. They've gone through a whole lot of effort to get me to have a nice, safe place where I could eat properly, and because that's a whole other issue. My health has declined really badly. She's a nutritional specialist. She was going to help me get healthy again. In this place, I've gotten so sick. So anyway, and part of the reason that this I was given was that they are somewhat anti-government, and that they're not trusting of the federal government. That they had to have a witness. They felt they needed to have a witness there. And when you label somebody as anti-government, those are some serious words, especially from. It shows that you have an ideological perspective that doesn't understand. When I had told her that they were LDS, her response was, what is that, Jehovah's Witnesses or something? And we're talking about a PO whose jurisdiction is in Bend, Oregon. And folks, I know a lot of you out there may not know the dynamics to that area, but they're all Mormons.
Okay, let's hold that thought, take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes, folks. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening.
Oh, man.
With Tom Lockevera riding shotgun. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. I mean, it's funny. You have to laugh at it, but you really have to cry over it as well, folks. Right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use
85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All right. Hey, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, along with my special shotgun writing guest, Tom Lederer. And before we get back to
story, not a shotgun.
Okay, yep. All right. Sorry about that. A cat pistol, folks. But before we get back to this, I was perusing through my emails during the break, and G. Edward Griffin, he has need to know news. Ed sent me, I think you had him up on your show not long ago, but Ed sends me his articles. Well, now I know who it was that was behind censoring or deleting your Facebook and your YouTube account. Let me read this just a quick two sentences. The ADL announces new internet censorship project to identify and prevent hate speech. The Anti-Defamation League with UC Berkeley have created an artificial intelligence program called the Online Hate Index. The hate index, right? So they deleted you because you're full of hate, Tom. All right, get back to your story. I just thought I'd throw that in. Go ahead.
The hate index. It's about as nonsensical as... Oh, Lord.
It says that they have promoted the far-left agencies who's accusing those who oppose these agendas of being anti-Semitic. So they're accusing you of hate and being anti-Semitic, and they deleted your account. Go ahead.
Yeah, they hired like 10,000 people. Anyway. All right, where was I? Was
the Hammonds denial?
So they're denying them because here's another thing that this PO had said was that that one of the reasons that they were denying is because she felt unsafe to go out there and make spot visits in the future because they show up unannounced and ever just do random visits occasionally, but she felt unsafe doing that now. Now, was she referring to feeling unsafe because of the Hammonds, who have no criminal record, who have two cops living on either side of them? Or was it what she was really saying was that she felt unsafe coming out and doing spot visits to me? And if that's the case, because that's the only thing that makes any sense, if she's going to try and fall back to the Hammonds, the judge would laugh that out of court. So it must be me. So if that's the case, how do you become a probationee with probation if the probation officer says he's too scary? And what have I ever done? I was a fireman. I stopped two robberies in the past 10 years, one against a little old lady and one in a convenience store in New Jersey. Guy said, this is a stick up. I checked him into the wall and knocked him out and sat on him until the cops came and arrested him. So please tell me how I'm so scary because of guilt by association, my belief system, because I'm not trusting of the federal government makes me anti-government. Well, hello, federal kill lists. Anybody? Hello.
Well, I mean, you're listed in the DSM by the psychiatrist is having an oppositional defiance disorder. You know, that makes you mentally ill. You don't realize that.
I heard about that. And that was only supposed to be applied to listen, you know, I investigated that a little bit and I looked into that. And that starts with children, right? Mm-hmm. It's really can't be applied to adults. There's other conditions that manifest, you know, that do that. But they refer this to children who are just openly and absolutely defiant. And so they basically, they're trying to refer to us as children who are being defiant of anything official. Well, if that were the case, then I would chuck every part of the Constitution that empowers Congress to do anything. I would chuck the restriction itself on the government. We are the government. This is what these people don't understand, and they don't understand our history, they don't understand our laws, and they've become so ideologically, I call it the government religion or the government cult.
Commutarianized. They've become commutarianized. Yes.
If you don't believe that we're going to do good for you, and I keep going back to Reagan's statements. I'm not really for or against any president in the past 30, 50 years. Who knows? But one of the things he said, one of the things you look out for is I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Well, you know, I believe that there are many good people who get jobs within the employment of the federal, state, and local governments, but they're people, right? So what we don't understand is that people screw up. And you put them in large numbers to screw up, and you empower them with large amounts of money and power, and they're going to screw up colossally.
And they believe their own nonsense, but, you know, your probation officer is part of the government, and she's here to help. Yeah. She's helped you along. And going back, you know, the folks, you know, let me interject this. The reason that I put out this plea yesterday to help Tom is he's got a court date coming up on the 13th of the month. It's next Tuesday, I believe. So they let him out of the halfway house, but they stick him into this plea. They won't let him go to the halfway
house. Oh, get this.
Go ahead.
This is something else that blew my mind. So, and when they turned me down for the Hammonds in this loving Christian home, right, one of my options was, and this was just last minute, right, I could go to a three-quarter sober living house with a bunch of people and newly in recovery who were mostly felons, right? And I said to her, just remember what they told me about the Hammonds. I didn't know them before. They weren't family. I didn't live with them. But they had a clean history and all that. But this was one of the reasons they used. I said, well, in that three-quarter way house, I don't know them. They don't know my history. I've never lived with them before. They're not family, and they're a bunch of felons. So I would have to say that probably wouldn't be conducive for my well-being.
But she suggested that. She suggested that. And so you turned right around and gave her back exactly what she gave you on the Hammonds. How did she reply?
Exactly. Yeah, well, the next topic, it was dismissed. Then she said that she could try and get me into an apartment. And I'm like, I don't think you really seem to understand the fact that the judge was on board with sending me along, did not want me, my political persuasion, to be down here. She said, we look forward to moving you along. So this was the plan from the beginning. So 120 days later, 4 months goes by, no plan B really was, aside from what you and I talked about, which, by the way, I threw it at her, and she apparently, I don't know, maybe forgot about it, whatever. But so here we are right at the door. I'm a week away from the trial, but my release date's come up. So they have to let me go. They can't physically restrain me or withhold me. But they've made it absolutely the most impossible situation that I could have so that I would not be prepared to walk into court, probably presentable, clean, ready to make a valid case in front of the, and I'm not saying that, you know what, I'm not going to say that this is her intention, but you know, people can easily come to that conclusion. It very well may be misfeasance. It very well may be it's just a bureaucracy, and this is how things work. I don't know, but what I do know is that Judge Aiken has kind of pioneered this program that's supposed to really give you the tools that you need and the help that you need to reenter society, be successful, to decrease recidivism. And I am quite sure that the concept of that, at least, this is going counter to. So I have had to raise my own money and rent a private apartment that's not connected with another living environment, and that's by myself. So they're basically putting you in a position where you can't go and live with people that are going to support you. So, but it's okay for you to go live by yourself where you have no support, you have no family or friends, you have nobody to help you do the things you need to do. But that's okay, right? So my position is this. How, and this is all for reducing the threat to society and all of this stuff. First of all, I'm released. So whether I'm at the Hammonds or whether I'm here, I'm no more or less a threat to society anywhere. So that argument doesn't hold water. So I've been going through the checklist of trying to weigh this out and trying to figure it out as to, because I don't want to jump to the conclusion that this is intentional. I don't want to go there. I want to try and be fair-minded and say, okay, is this, you know, but once you add calling people anti-government into it, that reeks of ideological bias. And here again, they don't want that ideological bias to be turned on them. When it's turned on them, it's hate speech. When it's against us, well, that's just okay. And that's not okay. That's where I'm at. So I'm stuck.
Well, I glean from this that this court case coming up next week is, I mean, you have a deadline. They can only hold you, 6 months in a halfway house or 4 months? What is it? I mean, you said there was a deadline. I mean,
it was 120 to 180 days, which basically means if I made it to 120 days without breaking any of their rules and doing everything they asked me to do and jumping through all the hoops and stuff, at day 120, I'm free. You know?
Okay.
They could utilize that.
And when is that?
180 days. It expired. I'm that's why I got out.
Okay. So where it is right now is you're still on probation. You're in Oregon. You have an Oregon probation officer, and you don't even, that's not even your home, and you're just trying to leave, and they won't let you leave, nor will they let you be with a loving family. You have to, and I'm coming to this, folks, as to why I put out the word for some funds, is that we determined between Tom and I that he needed about $700-$800 to get through this, because he has to, they have put him in a position of having to pay for his, aloneness to the tune of with food and the rent and so forth, about $100 a day. So we totaled it up between $700 and $800, which is why I put the word out yesterday.
Of course.
Thank you so much. Yeah. A thank you to all the listeners who contributed, Joe in Arkansas, Kim in Jersey, Jerry in Chicago, Daryl in Alabama, who, by the way, was my shotgun writing host yesterday, and Craig in Louisiana, and the other ones.
I'm blessed.
I tell you what, you folks have stepped up to the plate like the Patriots, the heart-loving Patriots that you are, and I'm proud of you. I commend you for it. Tom and I had talked before the airtime. Had it been reversed, Tom would have done the same thing for me. And by the way, folks, Tom LaCavera and I have never personally met, okay? Just like I have never personally met Susan Lindauer, I have never personally met a number of people that I am endeared to and love with all my heart, okay? Because we have a bond. We are together in this. We all wear the glasses, and we can see, okay? Yes. And that's the difference that we have in our empathy for our fellow human being, as opposed to throwing people out of the bus and eating their own to claw their way to the top at the expense of everybody else. That's the difference between real humanity and Lucifer. Arianism, folks. All right, go ahead and continue, Tom.
Well, anyway, so I'm in this position now that I have a court date on the 13th at 9:30, and I'm asking anybody who may be listening from the area, if you want to be there, well, I'll probably be out front of the federal building at least 8:45. And if you want to attend and stand in solidarity, there is a few people that are going to be coming. But now keep in mind that this plan is going to get me only to the 13th. At that moment, if the judge says you can go to Arizona, and which she has the, you know, she can do that. She can make that happen pending the approval or denial, whatever. And there's a couple things that can be done to facilitate that moving along. She could also determine that I could go and stay with the Hammonds. That is also an option. This is not saying that this is what the court is going to do, and this is what I'm worried about. If the court decides that neither one of those is an option, I'm standing at the doorway of this apartment with essentially no options but to throw myself at the mercy of the probation department for wherever they might decide is a placement, because if I don't have an answer or response come the 13th, technically also, by the way, being homeless is a violation.
No.
So.
Okay, so wait a minute. What do they do with homeless is a violation? What do they do? Kick them out of the city? I mean, that might be an option. Or do they
arrest
them?
Well, no. This is not supervision. It's absolute total control. In that, I mean, if you posit a reasonable place to go and they turn you down, the only options that they have for you are either this apartment she was talking about. When I was in Lane County, into the jail, we heard about an apartment complex that's for felons. You know, that it was built for felons. There was some stink in the community about it, but all of these felons go and live in one location. This is everything that they tell you not to do when you get out, right? Just pack yourself in with a bunch of felons. Now, and keep in mind, folks, my felony is nonviolent. It's constructive possession. I wasn't engaged in any criminal activity. There's no malintent criminal intent. So I'm not one of those people. I've just spent enough time with all of the meth dealing. I don't want to cast judgment on these folks. I really do. I hope that they find the love of God in their heart to do what they need to do to repair their lives. God has been gracious to me. So I don't want to castigate people who have fallen into these hard times, but I don't by choice live amongst them. I'll go and sit amongst them and try and, if I can, help them or mentor to them. But I go home, away from that environment. And this is what they seem to, the only option seem to put you right into the environment where you have people newly into recovery, which, I know for a fact there's every place that I've been in this, in or around the system, when you have people new to recovery, there's drugs being slung around. I don't want to be around any of that stuff. I don't want to be around any of that. And when we have given more than a reasonable alternative, two reasonable alternatives, now three reasonable alternatives being you, Mike, three reasonable alternatives, and it's like, no, you can't go with the non-drug support. All of the things that you would think that they would want. I was telling a friend of mine the other day, I could not, even if I wasn't coming out of prison, federal prison, I could not find a better circumstance or position if I needed work or support than what I found in Arizona. To deny somebody that opportunity is to deliberately, whether it's because of the system, whether it's because of the rules or whatever else you want to call it, to deny somebody that opportunity is to deny them success. And that is what it comes down to. So this is what they have me up against right now. I would have very happily just gone on. I would probably be right now working on a wood project in the middle of the desert, minding my own business. And they would probably hear far less from me. But be that as it is, if I have to stay here, I'm going to let Eugene know that I'm here.
I hear that evil laugh now. See, that's the dark side. But that's okay. It's interesting that they won't allow you to go with all these people that are totally clean. All right, Lily White, including myself. Okay,
yep.
But they will let you go to a three-quarter house, okay, or an apartment complex that's full of felons. Now, does that make any logical sense whatsoever?
No.
And is it the system? Is it their bias?
Here's the thing, man.
You can't put a
If you get guys coming out, we're going to the break.
right, hold that thought. We'll be back in three. Michael Breaking with Tom Lacovara, folks. Be right back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
We're back with the American Awakening, folks, with my special guest, Tom Lacovara. Now, look at
what an appropriate song.
really? Here we go. Brain deadness, circular logic, irrational behavior. Okay, we need to rehabilitate this man, so we're not going to let him go with anybody that's clean. We want to throw him into an apartment with a bunch of felons or a three-quarter house that has the same activity going on there. That's what's going to rehabilitate.
Go ahead. It breaks your spirit, it breaks your will, and it's a form of soft, what I call soft re-education. From the censorship at YouTube and Google, from this process that they put you through with this, it gears up to load so much on you that you'll just shut up, be quiet, and do as you're told mentality. And look, I have... And I know people are going to disagree with this statement, but after reviewing Judge Aiken's program that she pioneered and not speaking about political ideologies, I'm really impressed sorry, I'm really impressed with this program of reentry. She really is trying to keep people from going back into prison. Now, I'm not part of the reentry program because I wasn't a drug-related case, and I'm not going to be staying in Oregon for a year and a half and all of that other. That was the whole plan, was that I didn't become a part of that program because, but still, her mindset is to give people the tools and the support needed to achieve a reentrance back into normal life. And I don't think that anything that I've seen in this process facilitates that mindset. Now, if you're a prisoner coming out of a prison that, and you have nobody, and you have nothing, then this apartment offer may be your lifeline. That may be something that that gives you, I mean, at least it puts a roof over your head. And for that, I think it's a good thing to have. But that being said, when you have somebody coming out who does not need to take that space, who does not need to utilize those taxpayer resources, I believe that it's immoral and unethical to put you in a position to use those resources when you have a perfectly viable alternative. And this is what I mean when it comes to government bureaucracies and why, I mean, part of what they have to do is build trust with you. They've built no trust with me at all. I mean, everything that I've seen, I had to ask for my birth certificate three times, you know, since December, so that I could, because we were in the middle of a move when all of this happened. So all of my paperwork, all of my files are in storage in Florida. I have no access to them. I have no way of getting them, you know. And finally, you know, the day before I leave, or the day that I leave, they give me these notarized copies that I can get my birth certificate and get on the pathway to getting a driver's license or ID or something here. This all, you know, from my, I hate to say it, but from my lawyer to the probation service, everybody just drug their feet and waited till the last minute.
Oh, well, okay. Tell you what, second hour coming up with my cap gun pistol toting. Tom LaCavera.
Oh, wait, doesn't that have a trigger device? That might be against federal law, too. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I'm going to confiscate the cap. And we'll be back in 2 minutes. Here's on the American Awakening with Tom LaCavera. Be right back. And I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.